Coming up next, Bathrob Spears Broadsides, the Sunday edition. Stay with us for this January 19th, 2003 edition. 3.5 hours of civil rights on the streets, updates from the anti-war protest in San Francisco, and our own local scene. Welcome to another edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I'm the Robe, Robert Norris. Be with you for 3.5 hours until 1:30. No special guests planned today, but lots of updates, lots of interviews. Made lots of tape yesterday at the January 18th. What is it? Some say 100,000, some say 350,000. Police say more than 40,000 person peace rally up in San Francisco. Telling Fuhrer Bush, no thanks, no way, it ain't going to happen, not with our consent, not in our name, and it's going to get a whole lot hotter if it does. So I encourage you to stay with me while I review some of that. It's kind of a visual thing. I mean, you really had to have been there, or watching it on television or from aerial photos is great too. I would suggest if you want to go to the website of Santa Cruz Indie Media, you can get some really good, certainly good photos. I don't know, it was really impressive to have been there, but it's www.santacruz, one word, small letters, dot indiemedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, indiemedia.org. And who knows, I may have that wrong, maybe .com, I can never remember which it is, but try both, or try one or the other, and you'll get there, and it's probably the most recent story. A lot of other good stuff on that website, too. lot of stuff around the crackdown on street performers and the latest crazy laws passed by the Riley City Council. I'm going to be talking today about a lot of things. I'm going to be reviewing the newspapers, today's Santa Cruz Urinal, or the Sentinel, as we like to, well, as they like to call it. It's got a front page story on Smiley Riley, mayor of Santa Cruz, who didn't, as far as I know, attend this peace protest. Maybe she did something down here I didn't hear about, but I'm sure actually I would have read about it with the ever fawning Dan White covering the story if it had happened. Riley was at a peace rally, two months ago, and rumor has it she told activist Jeffrey Gale that she was going to call for a town hall meeting, but only after the president's State of the Union address, and that's going to be after January 28th, so it's kind of closing the door after the missiles have fled the silo, so to speak. So it's kind of a pointless thing. It's just another example of her, what Thomas Levitt calls symbolic politics, and what I call just useless cop-out gestures that have little to do with dealing with real issues where those involve taking a stand and standing up, even if it may involve making some other of the more conservative members of her city council nervous, or her conservative constituents. Riley, after all, is a businesswoman who comes from Mission Street. She has a bakery at Mission and Laurel. It's, you know, Emily's good things to eat. And many of us just wish she'd stayed in her bakery. She's a sweet woman. She's a nice person. She's a horrible politician. Seems to do that to almost everybody. In fact, it's hard for me to think of anybody it hasn't done that to. To some extent, Celia Scott escapes my criticism. She continued to stand up. She doesn't stand up very tall, and she doesn't stand up very loud on any of these recent issues, I notice, Celia Scott. And then you hear her in the paper praising Emily Riley. Not clear what she's praising Emily Riley for, but she's praising Emily Riley. So I guess these folks kind of cluster and huddle together in fear of a worse group getting in. That's, you know, the lesser of the two evils stuff. Not my favorite kind of politics. Anyway, let's stay with me for a little more of Just Kidding, a group I play a lot because they talk about the issues that I think, or sing about the issues that I think need to be sung about. I'm going to try this song. This recording, however, is sometimes seems to be less than ideal, so let's see how this old favorite goes.
Yeah. environmental terrorist, you an eco-terrorist, terrorizing them all with your music.
Musical terrorist.
Musical terrorism is your beat.
It's
so what is your kind trying to prove, anyway?
We're trying to prove that street performers can make a buck or two in
criminal
Santa Cruz.
We don't need no stinking street performers downtown.
By playing music publicly.
Now, I understand you're going before the law. They finally dragged you in. You're finally going to get your just desserts.
And just desserts.
When is your court date?
The 21st.
And that's for an arraignment, right?
That's an actual court date.
So well, it's a court date. I think you go there in Commissioner Joseph's court, and then you ask for you plead not guilty and ask for a trial, and then a week later you get an actual trial. So
really?
That's the usual process.
You mean a jury selection and everything?
No, it's a judge trial, unfortunately. But
the judge's chambers, then?
No, it's public, but, you know, and you get to present evidence, you get to cross-examine witnesses, you can subpoena testimony of all the rights except no public defender and no jury.
Thank you.
That's quite well
what I wanted to know.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it is nearly 7 o'clock on Monday, January 6th, and I'm headed for Loudoun Nelson Center, where the festivities will soon begin with the street performers slash stakeholders meeting, which is expected to have a number of downtown commission notables, perhaps a merchant or two, a smattering of street performers, and some other folks. I see Bob Guzley standing in the antechamber.
And that, sorry about that. I'm glad you weren't here for that one. That street performers stakeholders meeting of several weeks ago was, of course, something of a fiasco. It was a meeting designed to kind of bring together different interest groups under the pretext, the hope that was given some credibility by the presence of Mayor Riley and Vice Mayor Kennedy, that there would be some real discussion of different interests downtown, so that there could be, if there were concerns about the old voluntary street performers guidelines, which have worked well for the last 22 years for street performers generally, insofar in as much as they were used, as well as when they weren't used, of course, the police used other laws like excessive noise, trespass, disturbing the peace, sometimes terrorist threats. The more whimsical police officers didn't like the lyrics, sometimes tried those, although no such cases were ever successfully prosecuted. But they were used. A display of merchandise when a street performer was bold enough to show one of his CDs and maybe offer it for donation or sale. There's been, of course, a reign of repression in Santa Cruz regarding street performers that has made it, in spite of the legendary or reputation for tolerance in Santa Cruz, not really that tolerant. And street performers have kind of lived on the fringes and accepted that until the most recent round of crackdown activity by police this spring. And there was, and then it became kind of intolerable when it was backed up by Riley's strictly enforce all laws against people downtown under the downtown ordinances, which were not the ordinances that talk about excessive noise or trespass or anything of that sort. They're ordinances that essentially surreptitiously criminalize the sidewalk and gentrify it, turn it over to merchants by making these sanitary corridors now taking up 95% of all sidewalks in town for spare changing and sitting. You cannot sit or peacefully spare change, even silently spare change, with a sign within 14 feet of a building, 14 feet of a kiosk. There's a whole series of restrictions, more for the spare changing than for the sitting. And a similar set of restrictions, somewhat less space-consuming, but consuming most of the space, 10-foot setbacks, 10-foot forbidden zones for street performers. That was passed, as well as political tablers, by the way. If you somehow think that the First Amendment still adheres in Santa Cruz, if the merchants object. The merchants have the veto here. That's the deal. The amount of sidewalk space that's allowed for people to put up tables has been cut to about 20% of the sidewalk in those places where the sidewalk is broader than 10 feet, which is in the minority of sidewalks in town. And also there's 10 feet setbacks from benches. You can't be within 10 feet of a drinking fountain. You can't be within 10 feet of a kiosk, within 10 feet of a sidewalk cafe, You may walk around downtown and see all kinds of people doing things within 10 feet of these areas. And this is when we then go talk to Councilmember Mike Rotkin. He'll tell you, see, everything's fine, everything's rosy. One, the new laws haven't gone into effect yet. They go into effect in February on the 13th. Be advised of that. Right now it's 6-foot setbacks for street performers and tablers. Six foot forbidden zones, I should say. I don't like the setback stuff. They're forbidding activity that is innocent, like sitting if you're within 14 feet, or tabling or performing with a display device, actually performing at all if you're within 6 feet and you're in search of donations. On the 13th, that will change to the forbidden zones will expand a so-called move-along musicians and also tablers law. Anybody using a, quote, display device will be required to move every hour on the hour or whenever that hour is up. Not clear who's the timekeeper, or it's certainly not on a complaint basis. But the idea that this is somehow okay because everything will continue as usual is just this will give the police a nice blank check to take care of any problem performers or problem sitters or problem spare changers. I pointed out before the theory behind this is the police state theory, that you give the power to the police to make these kinds of choices instead of telling the citizen what the laws are, and then the citizen lives by those laws or chooses to break them as the case may be, but at least knows what they are and participates in making them. Well, all the participants in the legal process around this issue were ignored other than the merchants and some conservative residents by the council. An overwhelming majority of testimony said return to the old laws, or even better, go back to the real laws that govern really abusive behavior, the ones actually police were using over the last 8 years, as I mentioned, excessive noise, blocking the sidewalk, trespass, and so forth. Not even the 6-foot forbidden zone law that has been in effect since 1994 was used against any street performer that I know of during this period of time prior to 2002. Now, I could be wrong about this. I could be forgetting something. But almost invariably, when I broadcast complaints about police harassment of street performers, and that has happened over the last 8 years, certainly, and happened a significant amount, I think, the harassment has happened under other laws, as mentioned. Now, why can't we go back to those other laws? Why can't the police continue to use those other laws? Because the merchants downtown wanted some kind of a gesture, a pound of flesh from the city council. And rather than make some real changes that really dealt with the abusive behaviors that were ballyhooed in the papers, some of them were simply incidental violence that sometimes happens downtown, like an unrelated shooting that had nothing to do with people downtown, really, or people who hang out downtown, a stabbing that had to do with it was again a fluke kind of thing. It had nothing to do with people hanging out. And the things that did have to do with people hanging out, like the complaints about sexual harassment, abusive language, sort of rude behavior, I think in order to do this, the complaints about this kind of thing always arise at different times, have arisen at different times in Santa Cruz. You look back in the papers in 1984, 85, you'll find Marty Wormhout complaining about sexual harassment downtown. You'll find different things of that sort, and then you'll find what happened is it gets publicized, people become more aware of it, a kind of peer group pressure sets in, but you don't have the city council acting like a bunch of the fascists is an overused word these days, but when you start making laws that criminalize innocent behavior and give police a lot of power, the word fascist seems to sort of start getting more appropriate to me. In other words, yeah, the city council doesn't have swastikas. In fact, if you raise your hand in a gesture that says you're acting like a bunch of fascists, they'll arrest you. I guess that shows a kind of a reverse kind of fascism, or maybe an underlying kind of repressive attitude. And they don't, they aren't devotees of Mussolini or Hitler. At least they won't say so. And of course, they aren't. That'd be the last thing from their minds. But as Sinclair Lewis wrote in his book, It Can't Happen Here. When fascism comes to America, or when it came to America, I should say, it came in American guise. It came under the guise of stopping the drug war, or stopping the terrorists, or stopping the dirty beggars downtown. In other words, it was a way of dealing with supposedly a legitimate expansion of police power. And that's what we have here in Santa Cruz. Poo-pooed by the papers is no big problem, they say. Poo-pooed by Vice Mayor Kennedy. Dan White doesn't seem too concerned. The Sentinel is elated that we have these new laws. But the street performers are not. And though there seems to be kind of a hiatus in enforcement the last few days, I was out on the streets and saw a lot of before the last show on Thursday, I do this show on Thursday from 6 to 8 in the evening, the streets were kind of barren, and I only found two groups who were actually both violating the law. One was sitting on a bench playing a guitar. The other was four people were sitting alongside the Rittenhouse fence, I call it. That's the one fence that still exists downtown that kind of surrounds the Rittenhouse hole, which is across from the Cinema 9 and the Cooper House. You may be familiar with that one. That was the one the city council was afraid to turn into a plaza on, you remember. So there wasn't much going on. The streets were otherwise completely barren, and these were new people who didn't even know about the laws. Yet when I came out 3 hours later downtown, boy, there were people all over the place and in all kinds of illegal spots doing all kinds of illegal things, and police were just walking by. And I'm always glad when police allow people to do their thing, but I think people need to know they have the right to do their thing without... Not just because they're on the sufferance of the police department, who are sort of the unofficial toadies and gunsels of the merchants, which I think is not the way the American system and the Santa Cruz system in particular is supposed to operate. It shouldn't be any more illegal for people to be in front of a store playing a guitar if a merchant doesn't like it than if a merchant does like it. If a person is engaging in abusive behavior, they're engaging in abusive behavior whether somebody likes it or not. And that should be the standard. Now you say, well, you know, they're, you know, leave well enough alone. People aren't complaining. Everything's fine. And, of course, yeah, to some extent, sure. But I also saw police doing things like enforcing non-existent laws. They moved and also acting illegally. And I mean, if I find that tape today, I'm going to play you some interviews from that, too, where Phoenix, the harpist, and Barry, the flautist, were playing in the jewelry alcove, the closed jewelry alcove. And Barry told me he had permission, long-standing permission, from the owners of that store to play there. And he was on private property. That's a private alcove, one of the great so-called exemption zones, which is sort of a natural exemption zone, according to our "it's okay, everything's fine, we're going to come back with official exemption zones on public property" in February anyway. That's the Kennedy line, after working these out behind closed doors in a process to which the public has no access, of course, a standard sort of way the council and, to some extent, the Downtown Commission has been proceeding on this issue in the last 6 months. But what these two police officers, I think it was Gray and Andrews, two female police officers, told this pair of musicians was they could not play because they were within 14 feet of a building. Now, one, there's no 14-foot forbidden zone for musicians. There wasn't before. There won't be after February 13th. It'll be a 10-foot zone. They were actually within the 10-foot zone, too, so they might be considered illegal. Actually, they were in the negative zone. They weren't anywhere in front of the building. They were within the alcove, which is within the right of these people to play unless there's been a complaint from a merchant about that kind of behavior, and there was no such complaint. So they moved these two, and where did they move them to? They moved them right next to the drinking fountain, where it's illegal to play. And the police then ignored them. So it's like they had to do something because they saw something and thought, oh, well, this could be illegal, let's move them over here, where it's also illegal. And it shows you, A, how few legal places there are, even now, when the downtown ordinances haven't gone into effect yet, on the new downtown ordinances. But it also shows you how ignorant the police are. It also shows you what an arrogant kind of process we have here, where police are taking these kinds of choices without there being any complaints from merchants or members of the public, even. It's just, I mean, it's bad to give the police force these kinds of powers and also these kinds of responsibilities. And it also, of course, sets the police department up for disrespect in the community. Now, some people may say, well, you're going to be disrespecting the police regardless of what they do. That's not true. I have actually sent compliments and commendations to the police force when they've been helpful on different occasions. I think they have to be acknowledged when that happens. But it's true. My main task, as I see it, my main concern has been when police are not being respectful to the rights of the community, when they are criminalizing a class of people, either under pressure from the merchants or on their own initiative. And I think that's important for all of us to stand as a kind of a firewall to stop that from happening, because the council is clearly running wild with the matches and tossing the gasoline around on this stuff. So it really falls to the community to take a more reasonable stance on this issue. The council likes to posture on how it's all upset about the Patriot Act and perhaps the Homeland Security Act and the potential invasion of Iraq, which we should all be properly upset about. But, of course, when it comes to our own native repressive laws, they're just gung-ho and all set to go with more of them. And they do, and they have. And it's not going to get any better. The morning paper talks about actually, it was yesterday's paper, the Sentinel talks about how the city council is now going to do away with the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board. That's the Citizens Police Review Board, technically. You might say, why care? This is an ineffectual fig leaf, $80,000 expenditure that isn't really helping anybody but pretends to monitor the police department. And I've made that argument a number of times, though I haven't specifically, generally I haven't called for doing away with it. I've simply attacked it as a joke until they start exercising A, their real powers, and B, claiming more. Their real powers are the power of the public hearing, which they've never used. Their power to actually have findings that are different than those of the police department. Their power to hear testimony of members of the public and take it seriously. Their power to hold press conferences, hold interviews, stand up and demand that the police department follow up on things, follow up on requests, not stonewall on legitimate public issues, such as, for example, Chief Belcher's refusal to involve the CPRB or to even tell the CPRB what the current use and display of force policy is, which is, should there not be a record kept of every time a police officer draws or displays his or her weapon? And we should know why. And currently, apparently, that's only gets done if there's actually an arrest made. So you can run around intimidating and terrifying people all over town, as, for example, former Sergeant Clark, actually currently Sergeant Clark, did when he drew his gun on skateboarders in 1988 and said, "Down on your knees and say your prayers," as reported by several witnesses and as I myself reported in my publication then of the Street Shit Sheet. And there's no check. There's not even any report of that kind of stuff necessarily, because the only time a report comes is if there's an arrest or if maybe a firearm gets discharged. What's really scandalous, though, is that a member of the Police Review Board, David Rowan, made the inquiry of Chief Belcher, I think it was a year ago now, and then made it in writing, and the chief continued to stonewall. He wouldn't give an answer. "Well, so I can't really say at this time, I'll be sending something in the mail," that sort of thing. I've seen him do this to me verbally. I've seen him sort of double-talk the city council regularly. But to have him do this in writing to the Citizens Police Review Board folks, although it's nothing new, it was sort of kind of cold water in the face. And we had hoped in the last 4 years, when we had these three city council members, Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice, voted in a supposed new deal, to get some new action. And indeed, I think, for 2 weeks, Crone and Sugar actually made some noises about controlling or really, putting some kind of real monitoring system on the police department. And then, of course, they ran away, and nobody saw them since. Although Crone reportedly did show up at the protest up in San Francisco yesterday. He didn't have the balls to speak out on the issue of the street performers, though. He stood in the back of the room, or sat there with one of his former aides, Don Burke, observing the proceedings silently. He's kind of apparently he's taking the old timid Celia Scott posture. Celia Scott was quite outspoken when she was in office, but once she left, we didn't hear too much from her, and still don't. Crone's the same way. Apparently, it's more important to be a part of the old cronies mayor's gang than it is to stand up on the issues that you were once loud and proud on, or at least registered to vote and made some vote on. The Crone and Sugar last summer voted against the expanded downtown ordinances. I criticized them for not using the H word, homeless, as they should have, since that's the key factor behind these ordinances. They are all a special treat to the merchants because they essentially discourage poor and homeless people from hanging out. That's the primary use. They criminalize unattended backpacks, and that's being enforced, by the way. I saw a report of an officer going after somebody for a bike against the side of Borders. Wasn't blocking anything, belonged to somebody, but it was became an object of great concern. Is this unattended? If so, it's a $162 fine. You know. So, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're going to actually be continuing with some interviews. Our equipment for playing tapes apparently is deteriorating or is not properly set. I can't seem to get that done right. I don't know how to do it myself, and I would urge the other folks who are more technically proficient on the station to kind of try to help out here. I've got this up to max on the tape. We're finally getting something, but it's limited. Let's hear a little more from Just Kidding, and then let's get back to the serious stuff. And if you want to call in, phone number is 427-3772. 831 is our area code, in case you're listening in Australia or Germany, as has happened occasionally. We've actually gotten calls from those places. 831-427-3772. 831-427-3772. Stay with us.
Killing you slow as the poison flows. Stop making noise.
Santa Cruz City Council, actually outside. It's about 7:45 inside. City Council is discussing some laws, and coming up on item 28 will be the downtown performers suffocation, execution, overregulation. What do you want to call it? I don't know. Feel free. You're a performer on this. Stupefaction. You're a performer on the street. I see you sipping some of this mushroom soup.
That's what it is, thanks.
Well, Joe Schultz felt that it's appropriate considering the council's procedures of...
The good kind of mushrooms?
Covering us. Surrounding us with shit and keeping us in the dark. You figured it was a kind of appropriate...
That's poetry, man. That's beautiful.
That's reality.
What was the question?
No question. Just sort of a general, how's it hanging, big guy? Sort of.
Well, a little to the left.
Okay, well, do you intend to, stick it to the city council?
I'm thinking about it. I wouldn't want to aggravate the situation. Mm-hmm. That's what guys like me are best for. So, I probably have something to say, but I wait. You know, now's the time for diplomacy still.
I see.
There will be the time for people like me.
There will be a time for militants. All in due time, or perhaps in doo-doo time, as we say.
Yep, I am towing the party line. I'm going
with your toe.
Partying with my toe line. I'm going with the Buskers Union, the will of the Buskers.
Busk on.
Until such time as we lose anyways, you're not going to do what people like me do best.
Take it. And do you anticipate a victory tonight there, Phil Free?
In my fluffiest denial of reality mind, I could not conceive of what I call victory in this.
What would the victory be tonight, from the mass resignation of the city council?
Victory for me in this issue would be not to justify the merchant class downtown anymore into thinking that they have the right to call enforcement agencies to drive away individuals that they have a disagreement with. On all levels, I'd like that to happen. Personally, I've had that with street music for years. If a merchant calls the cops on me, that merchant can expect my vocal retribution outside their store as often as possible. I make my full-time job, you know, write a song about them. People that ask me politely to leave have been amazed at how polite I am, what a nice guy I am.
Well, I want you to leave right now, Phil, if you don't mind.
Well,
just testing, folks.
I hear your feelings, and I
you
respect.
You feel my pain.
I don't necessarily comply with all of the directives, but you know, people that if you call a cop, I'm going to be mad at you.
This has happened to you how many times in the last 5 or 6 years?
I've been arrested. Well, you know, I call the whole ticket. If it's a ticket, it's an arrest, and technically it is. It's about 10 times in 10 years.
And you've been charged variously with.
I've been charged with terrorist threats, distributing merchandise, disturbing the peace, unreasonable noise, and
wearing an unsightly hat, perhaps.
Wearing an unsightly hat.
Kidding, folks.
I've never been convicted on any of them. Most of the charges were dropped for dismissing lack of evidence. Actually, the only conviction I have in Santa Cruz is trespassing with intention to disrupt logging operations. I thought that was such a specific thing that, you know, I just accepted that because that didn't sound so bad.
I heard you disrupting the borders one day.
I've been charged with that, but not convicted. No.
You were playing outside borders within 10 feet, actually within 6 feet of the store
wall.
In fact, touching the very sacred premises of the Borders bookstore.
I previously had the permission of the management of Borders. When they came to town, they had like a PR rep. Their manager, and she found out who I was right away from some of the workers in there, and kissed my ass all over the place. Even told me that, you know, she was going to invite me to come in someday and play a gig inside Borders, which of course never happened. But, you know, she brown nosed me like a pro. They seem to be under new management, however.
No more brown nosing,
no,
Phil Free.
No more of that.
I think she went behind your back.
The time I had a problem with Borders was the day after Dan White wrote in the Sentinel that Phil Free had exhorted the crowd to break the windows of Borders.
And had you done that?
It is not technically. No, I sang a lyric in a song, exhorted the crowds, morning leaning towards, like, making a speech, urging them on to do it. One lyric in a song where, you know, the other lyrics in the song are tear down borders, but I guess that's okay. You can tear them down brick by brick, but leave the windows standing.
Did anyone follow your criminal advice?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Well, I myself, of course, have been barred from the bookshop Santa Cruz for eight years, at least, so far, and counting, because I actually didn't even sing.
He wants to keep Santa Cruz weird? Can we let you in now?
Neil Coonerty is the one who wants to supposedly keep Santa Cruz weird. He isn't here tonight, however. I guess he doesn't feel it's necessary. He feels that the Santa Cruz City Council has proposed a nice compromise, and it's don't come within 10 feet of a storefront, bench, kiosk, sidewalk cafe, crosswalk, drinking fountain.
Special Norris ordinance? You got a stay-away order from all those places, or what?
No, this is what every street performer will have a stay-away order from, given if they pass this law. This is what Neil Coonerty said, is he feels a nice compromise, because originally they're proposing a 14-foot setback from all these. Of course, the 10-foot setback removes about, and I'm just guessing, 75% to 80% of the sidewalk.
The sidewalk, roughly.
I put to you at the edge of the sidewalk, I would say, the curbs, if you consider all the setbacks. And
so 14 feet would have been the street.
14 feet would have been nowhere for most of the sidewalks, and a small 2-foot curb zone for those with very large sidewalks. Maybe some places a 4-foot zone.
Well, I'll give them credit for it. You know, thanks, City Council, for not making us stand in the street. I was willing to do that. That's
actually,
what
standing on top of cars might be a new approach. Singing while standing, and then sleeping on top of cars. I've always, of course, advocated that in my crusade to end the sleeping ban. But I guess the other proposal up tonight is the move-along proposal, which I've read some of the literature in the City Council's agenda packet. There's been some people writing in their emails, most of them opposing this ordinance, but there are a few people like Jerry Mandel of the Downtown Commission, who also wrote a letter to the Good Times, who support the ordinances because she says we have to have something to deal with unruly musicians like yourself.
Oh.
Well, she didn't actually quote you or point you out, no. You know, what can a poor merchant do if somebody is playing outside some horrible tune?
Personally, talk to me like a human being. If you send someone out that steps in between that process of human interaction, you think you have a right to make another human being move along under any circumstances. You know, let's say have a machine gun or a mowing down crowds of people. You generally don't have a right to tell human beings to move along. You can move them out of danger, that kind of thing. But just the concept that you could just have the audacity to tell another sovereign individual, hey, move along. The law says I can tell you so. Well, I got an issue there with that with the guitar, or not with the guitar. And that's a constant problem in this town, is this town trying to tell varying people to move along. And if they don't move along, we'll move the bench.
Along, move along, move along.
Yeah,
move along.
Musician.
Move along. If you don't move,
we'll move the bench out from under your ass. We'll put a change machine where you used to sit. This town's passive-aggressive. I've said it before.
In fact, there's an unusual law that says any machine which receives change, this was pointed out to me, I think, by you, Jim, that a bubble gum... I think that you can perform, however, within those areas if you engage in... if you don't have a display device, or if you don't engage in non-commercial activity, which is another
it says right here,
can of worms.
On this little scrap of paper, there are existing laws to deal with the problems you're trying to resolve.
Who
right
gave you that little
don't
scrap
they know
of paper?
About the gumball machine loophole?
But who will deal with the existing egg on the faces of the city council members if they, shall we say, take a step towards sanity in this issue? Who will explain to the merchants why they have succumbed to a rabble of troubadours?
I have no knowledge of that, but do you remember the flowers of fascism? When they found the loophole to drive the people from sitting on the sidewalk by planting flowers, because there was already existing laws, trying to deal with the problems they were trying to resolve. All they had to do was put in flowers that looked really nice, and everybody thought it was so nice for the tourists. Gumball machines everywhere would look so cool. We'd be like the gumball machine town, you know? Clowns. Juggling on the street.
Santa Cruz chewing, man.
Yeah. Maybe I'll run for mayor.
We'll wait that. We're talking with Phil Fr- inside the Santa Cruz City Council. I'm going to go inside and see if we have anything happening.
And what you're going to now hear, or what we would now hear, if we continue to listen to this tape and it becomes difficult to hear, is the City Council discussion of the ordinance changes, which they've passed without amendment. It's now going to be illegal on February 13th to be within 10 feet of a building, kiosk, bench, drinking fountain, crosswalk, intersection, in front of a sidewalk cafe at all, if you have a display device, and that will be, that's like a table with a chair, and conceivably could or could not be a guitar case, depending on how the police wanted to look at it. They did remove the words container and box from the definition of display device, and they removed the words a structure designed to hold, and left the words to display, indicating that they were trying to nudge things along so that conceivably performers with their open guitar cases and little cups would not be considered users of display devices and subject to $162 on the first offense, up to $1,000 and a year in jail on the second offense crimes. It remains to be seen whether police are going to do that or not. They also changed, they removed the phrase non-commercial activity from the ordinance, which means that whereas before, if you were engaging in guitar playing, non-commercial activity within, it would be now within 10 feet of all these different obstacle course things, you would be illegal. Now, however, it's only if you have a display device within that period, within that place, you're illegal. But there's also a new law that you have to, if you have a display device, move along every hour and not come back for 24 hours and move at least 100 feet. So we're going to have the roaming political tablers, or let's put it this way, we're going to have the jailed political tablers, because a number of us don't take too kindly to this and believe it's an unconstitutional restriction on basic free speech rights and freedom of the press and the right to assemble for redress of grievances, all part of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Then there is an additional change which says that if you are a street performer, only if you are a street performer, political tablers are not included, and you have a sign and you are playing for donations, that's okay if you receive donations. How the City Council thinks this is going to pass constitutional muster, exempting one group of people from soliciting but nobody else, it's hard for me to fathom, but they apparently think they are going to, because Barisoni proposed it and they presumably have some sort of legal defense in mind. We'll see about that. Finally, they state only that performers with display devices are subject to the move-along. So the significance here is that since the performers who are playing music, let's say, without a display device, which means really without a table at this point, and possibly, as I said, guitar cases may well be exempted from being display devices, the musicians may be able to continue to play where they are and not be subject to the move-along, which would make the whole move-along law completely superfluous, except now it catches up in the famous metaphor, kind of the tuna fish metaphor, where the tuna nets are catching up the dolphins. Tuna nets are supposed to go after the dirty, grubby panhandlers and the evil, rowdy youths and the nasty sexual harassers, but it's catching up the innocent flute players and the fine political tablers and so forth. Well, it's going to be catching up the political tablers and apparently letting go of the musicians if, in fact, guitar cases and little cups and so forth are not considered display devices. It also has given rise to the idea that street performers after February 13th, I should say individuals after February 13th who want to be, let's say, panhandling downtown, will just pick up a kazoo and try to play. Now, the police's immediate reaction to this in the last 6 months, when it's been tried by panhandlers, to say, no, no, you're not a performer, you're a panhandler, you can't do that. Which is, of course, we know the police have many functions, and one of their new roles is a sort of music critic. And I can appreciate that. We want to give our police as broad a power as possible to help us deal with the crisis downtown. But it seems a little far-reaching and also arbitrary. And also, I don't think police are trained to decide who is a real musician and who is not. And when Sergeant Baker did that to the two individuals who were in front of the Cinema 9, one of them was Steve Elliott, and one of them was Craig, the Visions of a Hamburger guy, Had these people had any lawyers behind them, and had they decided to fight that, I think they would have found false arrest was coming their way. And who knows, you may see me trying a little kazoo activity in front of the Cinema 9 to try to bring back the First Amendment downtown fairly soon. I'd like to, if you want to be part of the Kazoo Constitution Restoration Squad, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's my off-air number for any questions you may have or commentary you may have that you may not want to put on air. If you want to call on air, you can do that too, and that's 427-3772 here on Free Radio. 427-3772. The line is open. And you can also email me. I may or may not get it. I'll try to check periodically. rnorse, R-N-O-R-S-E, rnorse, one word, at hotmail.com. rnorse at hotmail.com. I'll try to look at your emails and read them on the air if you'd like that. If you want it, don't want it read on the air, just make a note, not for broadcast, and I'll note that as well. So, I'm hoping to play some more from the performers, the execution and burial of the street performers guidelines, as I call it, which the city council undertook last Tuesday, and I probably am going to be doing that. I'm also going to, as I mentioned before, going to be playing some stuff from the protest in San Francisco. I was there. I was actually, I stationed myself at the very head of the protest. I was actually the first person in the protest. We had an interesting kind of thing where the leaders of the protest were stringing out police yellow keep back the crowd tape. I, as a broadcaster, had a right to be inside the taped area, and I was exercising that right. And to their credit, the so-called monitors, who were part of the peace protest group, were not harassing me or other people unduly. I did get a number of requests that I go behind the ribbon, and I said, no, I'm doing free radio work, and you know, and they were generally pretty reasonable. And there were some people who were just independent who were doing that, and most people were sort of lining the sides of the street. And as I said, there were tens of thousands of people. I would estimate the crowd at somewhere between 75,000 and 100,000 just along Market. And the reason that I make that estimate is because I stopped at the very beginning of the parade when it started to move, stood atop a news rack, gaily adorned in my bathrobe with my teddy bear, which I wear when I go to large protests of this sort to emphasize the need to decriminalize survival rights such as sleeping for homeless people, and try to get a little amusing media out of it too. And I counted people, not individually, because there was just no time to do that, and I just can't, I'm not an expert in that, but I estimated people, how many people went by each minute, and I did that several times, and I got usually between 300 and 400 people per minute, and I stood up there for an hour and a half, and people kept coming, and they were taking other routes as well to the Civic Center, not just up Market Street. They were going up McAllister, and I presume they were coming from other parts of the town. But when I left after an hour and a half, about 40,000 people had passed. And I think the parade went on for another hour and a half, making it 80,000 up Market Street alone, and probably a significant number came from other directions. Now, the people who ran it said 350,000, according to the indie media this morning. I don't think so, but who knows? I mean, I can't tell. Maybe there was some huge ingress from other places that I was unaware of. And the police say more than 40,000, which is true. There were definitely more than 40,000, but there were significantly more than 40,000. And it was huge. And I did a lot of taping, but most of the taping doesn't sound so interesting to me as I listen to it and kind of refer to it. I sort of read the signs. So the people had a lot of interesting signs. People from all different races, people from all different ages, sexual orientations, from different places, mostly in California, though some from Idaho, some from Oregon, that I talked to, and some had signs. A lot of religious groups represented, some children, some babies. I think I will play a little of that tape in a moment. First, of course, we'll have to have another Just Kiddin' musical break, and then we'll come back. Let's hear Kill the Cop Inside. Now, this is not a admonition to shoot police officers on the street. I want those listening to know, so lest we be accused of terrorist threats.
Kill the cop inside.
against the war. And a leisurely march or walk continues. And there's some chanting coming up. I have a dream, Bush in the world court. There's no glory in genocide. An eye for an eye makes everyone blind. Not my president, not my war. Large blue peace sign in foam rubber. And I'm not quite sure what they're saying, but looks like a lot of folks of color, Latino, Black, Asian. A number of bicycles from private individuals are here. Of course, the entire area has been roped off. No trolley cars, no trams. Indeed, the buses weren't running when I came here, so I couldn't quite. We had to take the BART to get to the protest. Here's pictures of Gandhi on placards coming up. People with smiles. Ah, and even a skateboard here. And skateboards, if it says it isn't Santa Cruz, may be illegal here. I don't want to die in a nuclear war. Students for Peace. People. Let's do another check, and I'll try to estimate again how many people pass by in a minute. So I'm estimating now 400 people per minute passing by here, and it's 19 to 1 by my 5 minutes ahead watch. Albion Nation, Bush for Fuhrer. People just keep coming. Prevent war crime. Regime change in Washington. Give peace a chance. No war. Give peace a chance. Democracy Now! End corporate rule. U.S. citizens want peace. Make love, not war. And then many peace signs, war sucks. Bush, America's weapon of mass destruction. And there's several flags, look like African or perhaps Caribbean flags, and carried by two African-American looking folks. Maroon, black, and green. And then there's a red, white, and green flag. And here's something about social justice. Let's spread that banner. Can't see it. I'm a CO. Without warriors, there can be no war, says a woman carrying a sign. A young woman, perhaps a teenage woman. Patriot for diplomacy. And aha! I see three people looking out of windows finally at the hotel across the street. Get your Bush out of Iraq. Blood does not equal oil. No war, just peace. Schools, not bombs. And a bubble blower. I know Tim Rinker was going to be doing some bubble blowing today. That's the man who was convicted of chalking on the Santa Cruz sidewalks along with Becky Johnson and Nathaniel Kennedy. Political slogans in downtown Santa Cruz. Although there hasn't been much chalking I've seen today, I have been keeping a close watch for it in San Francisco, and I'm not aware of any cases here of prosecutions or people chalking. So. Salam shalom, says a banner. Hey, hey! And it looks like the either Santa Cruzans or somebody who I know from San Francisco. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. The George Orwellian mottos of 1984. It's no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence and non-existence. War is only a cowardly escape from the problems of peace. So 400 a minute for 30 minutes makes 12,000 people so far. And might be 10,000 people so far. Quaker witness for peace and justice. No more victims anywhere. These people, of course, are heading for the Civic Center Plaza, which was filled pretty much to packing before. And there's a happy young woman with a castanet or a we the people charge Bush and I can't read anymore. Stop the killing. Somewhere in Texas a village is missing its idiot. Stop the killing. Quaker witness, no war. People are looking pretty happy, and I'm a photo opportunity, and it's good. Violence is hard to read on your sign. And here's a pooch for peace. All right. Violence anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Martin Luther King Jr., and of course, Martin Luther King's birthday is coming up on Monday, or I guess the celebrations are coming up on Monday. Go solar, not ballistic, perhaps? Large sign. And the walkers are walking and walking, and some of them are strolling, and some of them are on four legs, and some of them are on two, and Palestine, Israel, one person, one vote, one country. The truth, it's all about oil. Well, I'm wondering where the union people are in terms of union groups or organized union protest. perhaps they're in here as individuals, or perhaps they haven't yet arrived. This march is reported to have 100,000 people. That's some sort of rumor floating around. Patriots for Peace. If that were the case, at the current rate they're walking at, it's getting a little thinner, so I'd say 300 per minute. It would have to be 3,000 per 10 minutes every hour. That would be 18,000 per hour. Have to be about 5 hours worth of people. Maybe more, 5.5 hours. So, unless people are walking, continue walking for 5.5 hours at this rate, or come from another direction than here, and this is, of course, the main march, we don't have 100,000, but we got thousands and thousands of people here. $2 billion in annual U.S. military aid to Israel is not a peaceful solution. And lots of smiles from the good-looking people. 500,000 refugee children. Women. Yuck. Says.
Yeah, for love.
All right.
For love. For nature.
No, 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 no war, says one sign. No draft, no war. Stop killing children for oil. They get money for war, but they can't feed the poor. Not in my name, not with my money, not with the blood of my children. The first man in a business suit, all right. Impeach Bush. Stop stupidity. The unelected fraud does not speak for me. Nuclear disarmament begins at home. And another bubble blower. Peace is patriotic. No war for oil. We must be the change we wish to see in this world. $51.50 Bush stat. STAT. No doremos sangre por aciete. First Spanish sign I've seen. And the people just keep coming. Let's bomb Burbank next, says Tamarack sign. My goodness. Good. Good to see you. I still got that bill posted on my wall waiting for somebody to use it. Tamarack has a suggestion.
Here's a fantastic suggestion someone showed me from Argentina at the Peace March in Los Angeles. You take a $1 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, $100 bill. Have a red magic marker, write about half-inch letters, no war, and put them on the bill. And then when you pass them, exchange them into circulation, you're getting free advertisement, and it's on their money.
Okay, we used to do that, I think, back in the old Iraqi war days.
All right, so that will make a good statement. No sense not keeping it up.
Thank you, Tamarack.
All right, brother.
There are two large faces on signs. No to occupation intervention, the picture with a guy with a gas mask. Then there's a woman, yes to Palestinian independence. What would Buddha, Jesus, Gandhi, MLK do? And there's actually a real American flag being carried. Peace, not empire. The man is carrying the flag. The woman is carrying the peace, not empire sign next to him. And there's a man with a soup bucket doing some drumming. War equals oil. And dissent is patriotic. Money for books, not bombs. Rage against the war t-shirt. You reap what you sow. War is not an energy policy. Give peace a chance. First victim in any war is truth. Don't attack Iraq. And a fine-looking peace bagel, is it? I want a bite. Huge piece bagel on a stick. All we are saying is give peace a chance from someone who looks about 15. The torch is passed on. There is an ancient twin lens reflex. Whoa. Mamma mia, that's from the 40s maybe, or the 30s. Huh? 50s, wow. You brought out your old camera for this one. We're talking to a woman who's doing some photographing. with two cameras. What's your name?
Migdalia.
And are you doing this for yourself, or is this for lifetime?
Myself.
For yourself. What do you think? What do you got any cool pictures today?
I always have cool pictures.
And what gallery can we see them in?
Actually, you can see them. You can see them at the Black Box Gallery in February, all next month.
Which is in San Francisco.
It's in Oakland on Telegraph Avenue, just off of 19th Street. I have a show. Please come.
All right. So any of you Santa Cruzans who get up to Oakland, check out the work of
Migdalia. It's going to be beautiful. The opening is on this February 9th, 1 to 4.
And there'll be some pictures of this rally, perhaps?
Probably not quite that fast.
Okay, well, get busy. Thank you. Thank you. Please don't kill. Generally getting positive looks rather than who the fuck are you looks as I stand up here, which is nice. Smiles. I guess Officer Ed here has got some pull here. He's my teddy bear companion protection. Republic, flag, or empire? Picture of Bush with a crown. That's what one man is holding up. There's a man with a beanie hat. Go, beanie hat. Actually, it's a woman. Sorry about that. Students for Peace. Family for Peace. Think Peace. Save our generation. God bless America. What about everybody else? Wake up, America. No more war. Number of signs that say that. Bubbles. And, of course, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. Answer. One of the main sponsors and organizers of this protest. There's a woman in Palestinian garb. Stop the war against Israel. She has a long shakur on with a white head covering. A huge blue balloon must be, gosh, what? Radius of 10 feet in diameter, at least. Veterans for Peace. Ban DU, that's depleted uranium. War is way stupid. Stop war. War is not the answer. Redwood Peace Coalition. No war in our name. And announcement of a non-permitted march at the southwest corner of the protest at 2:30. So that's going to be happening.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is some tape I made yesterday at the Market Street Embarcadero to Civic Center march by tens of thousands, I'd say at least 100,000, 125,000 people in San Francisco. I counted about, as I said, 40,000 of them myself. I think another 40,000 came up that route, and I suspect similar or half again that many came from different places, too. Maybe an exaggeration, but at least 80 to 100,000 people. Wow, what a march. Also mentioned just now, as you heard, was the secondary march, which you can actually read some commentary on if you want to go to www.santacruz.indymedia.org. I went on that march and did some recording. It turned into a kind of a melee of sorts. It was followed by police. And we're going to talk about that after this call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. I hope I'm not on the air. I want you to just go ahead and keep playing that wonderful tape.
Oh, you are on the air at the moment.
I am, okay.
Anything you want to say?
Well, the reason I'm calling is I went to the march yesterday. It was absolutely phenomenal. And my 23-year-old niece and a friend of hers joined my friend and me. And it was the first time my niece or her friend had ever participated in a political event of any kind. So it was really wonderful. It was so huge that by the time we arrived at the Civic Center, the main speakers had already spoken. So I would love to be able to share with her an audio tape of what you were reporting on in the crowd. And if you have a tape of the speakers, I would really love to buy it from you.
You know, I didn't make a tape of the speakers. In fact, I didn't hear most of them because most of my taping was A, on the march as it came to the Civic Center, and then B, on the secondary march describing what people did as they went to the Chronicle Building, the British Embassy, the INS, and then as the police began to attack after people were throwing newspaper racks into the street and so forth. But I
know. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, that was, well, you, as I mentioned, you can read a little bit about that on the Indy Media website if you have access to the internet. www.santacruz.indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A. I think it's com or org, I'm not sure which.
Okay.
But I'm almost positive that, you know, there was a lot of people made tapes of that, much better tapes than I could have made at a distance. And I would suggest you probably want to just sort of try to get to maybe the Answer website. You know, the main group that was, one of the main groups that was sponsoring it may have made those tapes and they'd be selling them for $10 or $20 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm interested in knowing, did this kind of commentary of simply reading the signs, does that sound of interest? I got kind of worried that that's kind of boring after a while. So
I really like it, especially since we were in it and we saw all these signs, but we don't have any, we don't have a document of it.
Right.
So I saw a lot of the signs that you were just repeating on the air. It was wonderful.
Well, you know, I can play some more of it. I didn't want to bore people out. I mean, as I said, it's sort of a visual thing more than a verbal thing.
Uh-huh.
So I may play some more of it if it seems to be entertaining.
Okay, and I would love to have copies of whatever you have and be able to provide them to my niece, because I think it would be a good thing for her to have as a memento of the occasion.
Sure. Well, you know what you might do is, and anybody else who's listening, if you want to get a copy of some of this stuff, contact my producer, Becky Johnson, at 429-8529. Again, 429-8529. In case you haven't got the number, she's the only Becky Johnson in the Santa Cruz phone book.
Okay.
And just give her a call and tell her that, and she's sort of overworked, so maybe a while before you get them, but I think
that's
she can probably get them to you.
Okay, 429-8529.
Yeah.
And
that's
Becky.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey. Thank you, and thank you for bucking up my confidence here.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And the call quality I'm getting in terms of the equipment, I hope people are able to hear that caller. Sounded a little muffled. Maybe it's just her phone. I'm hoping that's not the case with other people who are listening. What do we got here? Well, actually, I can play some more of this tape. I'll play a little bit more since people seem to be interested, although please, if you're not interested, let me know that too, so I can get some indication. There were lots of creative signs, and some of them were, of course, visually creative, and some of them were creative in terms of the slogans that were used and the brief quotations that were put forward, and those were great too. Again, as I'm saying, if you want to follow the other march, I was there for part of it, and actually I was there for most of it. I was there when police started beating up several of the protesters. I guess two were arrested and beaten up. Most of the protesters had some rather creative tactics. They blocked the street with newspaper racks. They shifted directions. They ran for a block and stopped. And then they went to Market Street and they all disappeared into the BART station. And instead of having a mass arrest or something, everybody just disappeared, and graffiti and several broken windows, it has to be said, were left behind. Broken window at Starbucks, a broken window at, I believe, the INS. It's described in some detail on the Indy Media website. And I've got to admit, I had ambivalent feelings about it. I'm kind of middle class, even though I may sound radical to some people. I'm not a street fighter. You know, I'm more of a person who speaks out on issues. And, you know, I'm not a person who wields a newspaper rack through a window, as some other people were doing. And I felt conflicted about it. I felt like, you know, on the one hand, the Führer Bush seems to be marching to war, and there has to be some, you know, militant response and some response in some way. And certainly, it's great when you have tens of thousands of people gathering for a march. But for me, the answer is, what do people do the next day? What are we doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? I'm trying to get Emily Riley and Representative Farr and the Board of Supervisors to call a town hall meeting here, so we can all start discussing what the community's reaction ought to be. I don't mean just another resolution from the city council or, you know. But, you know, Farr, who poses an anti-war representative, voted for the military appropriation the same day that he voted against the war in Iraq. He's refused to answer a series of questions. You can get more information on this by looking on the Indie Media website. Got to go back to October or November. Scroll back and you'll find we went to his office three times and we couldn't get straight answers out of his staff and certainly not out of him. He never showed up. He wrote me a letter, you know, propounding what a great peaceful fellow he was, but he wouldn't call for a meeting here locally. He wouldn't lead a peace delegation to Iraq. He wouldn't repudiate his vote on the war appropriation. Similar to his policies around the war in Yugoslavia in 1999, when he's never repudiated uranium depleted weapons, which are of course all over Iraq and were used in the first Iraq war, and they're no doubt going to be used in the second one. So what do we do now? And people who I regarded as peaceful in many ways, local Santa Cruzans, were actually very pleased to see windows broken. They were very pleased to see newspaper racks in the street. They were exhilarated by it. I was somewhat intimidated by it, and I was somewhat sort of scared by it myself. And that may simply be a tribute to my, or it may be a commentary on my age, on my, you know, somewhat non-militant upbringing. I wasn't brought up as some kind of militant. I was brought up as a liberal kind of person. But, you know, it's a question. What do people do? I mean, the concern is, oh, well, these rampagers, these black bloc people, many of them are wearing masks or bandanas over their mouths. You know, they're going to give a bad name to the peace movement and so forth and so on. And, you know, that has to be considered, certainly. But I think the other side of it is that people need to be able to do something real. I mean, I'd like to see, I understand in Washington, I guess people march to the Naval Yard and try to do a weapons inspection. I mean, it would be great if bunches of people marched to, I don't know, whether it's the local armory or the local Feinstein, if Feinstein has an office. She supported the war resolution, although now she's having second thoughts, apparently talking about wanting there to be giving the inspections a chance to work, but of course she's already given away the store to Fuhrer Bush. He's got the resolution to go ahead. The troops are over there. The money's been appropriated. What do you do to spread the word from city to city that there will be massive resistance to this war? And I think that's a real question. If people have thoughts on this, they want to talk about it, give a call, 427-3772. I'll do some more of my travelogue sign description. I'm then going to move to the city council debate of last Tuesday on the anti-homeless, anti-street performer resolutions, which passed completely thanks to Mayor Riley. I'm also going to talk a bit about Riley, who's on the front page of today's Santa Cruz Sentinel. She doesn't deserve a lot of discussion, frankly. As a politician, she's got no new initiatives I can see at all. The only thing I've noticed at all in this, she's written her own commentary, which was printed by the Sentinel, called "So What Made the Mayor's List?" It's much worse than Crone's list, of course, but Crone was full of posturing and pomp and little substance as well, unfortunately. The real issues about, you know, cutting back some of the police budget, thank you very much. She isn't going to touch the police budget. In fact, they're going to go after the organization that has been charged with overseeing the police, as I mentioned earlier, the Citizens Police Review Board. That'll be happening on Tuesday, I believe, at a special city council meeting. I'm going to try to look that one up on the internet. I haven't gotten the agenda for that. And I may play a little bit of the Citizens Police Review Board. Last Monday, when I tried to get them to hold an emergency meeting, I thought they were going to do that because they had heard that this slicing away of the Citizens Police Review Board, this done deal with Riley, Kennedy, and Fitzmaurice leading the pack, is underway. They're going to get rid of even the ghost of a check on the police department, and they're going to leave the police with all the money. Now, it's true that they talk about cutting back positions this summer, where the police and fire positions may be cut back, but this comes after years of endless support for the police department. $7 million cost overrun of a $6 million police station, that making it $13 million, that they continue to deny happened. They like to use other words to describe what happened there, but that's, in fact, what's happened. Huge amounts of money. Whatever Chief Belcher wants, Chief Belcher gets, is generally the bottom line. If anybody wishes to challenge this, if they have some other stats, I'd love to hear that, conflicting opinion. You're invited to call in, get equal time. Please give me some new information. But the fact is, police state politics are all the rage here in Santa Cruz, ranging from, you start with, of course, the most lowly, the the bums, the panhandlers, the poor, you know, the street performers, the political tablers, and then you move to whoever is next. And, you know, some people say, oh, my goodness, you know, that can't happen here. That's just paranoia. I mean, I invite you to look at what's happening nationally. I invite you to look at the rights that have been stolen from U.S. citizens once they're called enemy combatants. There's a very interesting petition, which I'm going to read you, the impeachment petition, which is on the Counterpunch website. And the Counterpunch website is a great website. I encourage you to go to it. Just go to the Google machine if you're on air, or online, I should say, and check out Counterpunch. And you'll find great stories every day. I mean, they're leftist stuff, but stuff by Alexander Coburn, stuff by Saul Lindau, others who I think really interesting. See if I have that. I think I tried to make a copy of that, and I'm looking on the computer now to see if I can find it. Again, the call-in number here, 427-3772, in case you want to give a quick call, or email me at rnorse@hotmail.com. I think what I'll try to do is get to the Counterpunch website and read you this interesting article of impeachment. While I'm going there, I'll play a little bit more of my above-the-crowd report as I stood on a newspaper rack outside a pizza joint about between 6th and 7th and Market, commenting on people passing by, reading signs, greeting people, all the while cuddling my police officer teddy bear with its right-to-sleep button, Officer Ed, in my arms. Let's hear a little more of that.
Any comments, Tom? No, no comments. Let me see. And there's a woman with a Mao Zedong t-shirt. Haven't seen one of those in years. Amazing. Peace starts with you. War will not be my legacy. I'm still waiting for someone with a Stalin t-shirt. Haven't seen that one yet. Put King George II in check. And looks like the crowd is stopping here. This particular march contingent is stopping and blocking the avenue and not moving. Or maybe there's a blockage. Tom, what do you make of this? It looks like there's a stoppage right here.
Oh, it's just getting compact up ahead. There's nowhere for them to go.